The other day, while listening to another person preach before I was to preach, I was reading the Bible, and I came to that wonderful verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, where the Apostle Paul says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." And I got thinking about the word unspeakable. My first thought was in 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul says, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love Him." But I thought I'd look up the word unspeakable. And so I got to looking up the word unspeakable, and to my complete surprise, it was only mentioned three times in all the Bible. Well, I got thinking about unspeakable, and you know, the next thing I thought about was the word unsearchable. Now, why, I don't know. Maybe it's because they're a lot alike. And so I looked up the word unsearchable, and I find that in the New Testament, the word unsearchable is only mentioned twice. And then I looked up the meaning, and I found this. I found that the word unspeakable is mentioned three times, but never the same root word in the Greek. It's always the same in English. Unspeakable gift, unspeakable joy, unspeakable place called heaven. But in each place, it is a different word in the original. It means something a little bit different. So I looked up the word unsearchable, and I found the word unsearchable is found in Romans 11:33 and Ephesians 3:8, but I found that even unsearchable, these two words are not the same words in the original. In the English, it's spelled the same, pronounced the same, unsearchable, but not so in the original. And then I thought, well, there ought to be some other word, unsomethingable. And so I thought, now what other word? Unsearchable, unspeakable. And so I got my Cruden's Concordance down and found that there's only one other unblankable, unsomethingable, and that's unchangeable. And all three of these have to do with Christ or the gospel of Christ or something to do with the gospel. And so I thought, now what a tremendous thought. Unspeakable is our salvation. Unsearchable are the riches of that salvation. And unchangeable is that salvation. Now, I want to call your attention this morning, these three words, and I think if you'll follow very carefully, I think you'll learn something, and I think you'll be able to rejoice even more because of the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Now, the word unspeakable there in the Greek means it cannot be spoken with words. It cannot be spoken with words. Paul said, "When I think of my salvation, there are no words to describe my salvation." Now, when it comes to the unspeakable joy, we have the little song, "It is joy unspeakable and full of glory." Joy unspeakable and full of glory. When it comes to unspeakable joy, it goes a step further than that. Now, unspeakable gift, thanks be to God's unspeakable gift, means we can't describe it with words. But when it goes to joy, it means there's no sound that can describe it. Not just words. There's no sound, no scream, no holler, no instrument, no shout, no nothing, no sound that can describe the joy we have in Christ. But now when it comes to unspeakable place, it goes a step further, and it means couldn't speak. Paul was caught up in the third heaven. He said, "I saw things unspeakable." Now let's go back and look at each one just briefly. In the first place, unspeakable salvation. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Isn't it wonderful to know that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? Did you ever stop and think how many people today are afraid to die? By the way, I don't want to die. Fellow said, I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to take the next trip to heaven. That's all. I don't want to be on the next load. But I'm not afraid. Now, I'll be honest. I don't want to die. I dread the process. Now, where I'm going, let's suppose that I was going to go to the moon. I'd like to visit the moon. But I dread getting there. I'd hate to be blasted out of that rocket and be hurled through space. Now I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And I want the Lord to come, and I hope I don't have to die. But I know I'm going to heaven. Did you ever stop and think how many folks today are afraid? They don't know where they're going to go. They don't know that they're saved. They don't know that their sins are forgiven. This morning, somewhere in this world, some lady takes a little baby and throws that baby in the jaws of a crocodile in a river, hoping to do penance to her God and earn heaven. This morning somewhere, someone bows before a certain, faces a certain direction, or lies on a bed of sharp spikes and nails or something, trying to earn their way to heaven. And Paul said, I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. Paul said, that's an unspeakable gift. That's an unspeakable gift. I made mention of this. I am the other day in the funeral service. I made mention of this. My birthday was a few days ago, and I got so many beautiful birthday cards, and some sort of smart aleck, about getting old and so forth. But many lovely gifts and so forth. And I said thank you many times. I appreciate it, and thank you, and I appreciate that and your thoughtfulness. And I've tried to remember to thank everybody, and if I didn't thank you, I just forgot, and so forth. But there was one person to whom I didn't say thank you, just one. One of our men, very faithful man. He's here this morning, I'm sure. He doesn't make as much as most of us do. He isn't able to wear perhaps quite as nice a clothes as some of us. He saw me, and he ran across the street and said, Hey, preacher! And I said, yeah. And I was in a hurry, and to be frank with you, I didn't want to stop because I was in a hurry. I'm always in a hurry. And I was in a hurry to get somewhere, and I'm always the late Jack Hiles, and I was a bit late. And so I was going to, and he, hey, hold it a minute! And he said, I want to give you something, and he gave me a card, and I opened the card, and there was a $10 bill in it. And I knew he couldn't afford the $10. And I started to say thank you, but I got choked up. And I couldn't say thank you. And it was an unspeakable gift. The Apostle Paul said, when I think of being saved, I can't tell you how. Said, suppose you stood up here this morning and tried to describe in words the joy of being saved. You're not going to go to hell. You're going to heaven. You're God's child, redeemed. Your sins are gone under the blood. Unspeakable is that gift. This morning, if you're not saved, I can't tell you how wonderful it is to be saved. I can tell you how to be saved. But once you know you're saved, you know your sins are forgiven, you won't be able to describe it either. There's no way to describe it. But then the Apostle Paul goes on and uses something, or Peter does. I'm sorry, I made a mistake about that. Peter does. He speaks in 1 Peter 1:8 about joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now then, you come down to joy unspeakable. It means not, the word does not mean you can't speak it in words. It means you can't even make any sound. Hey, if ball game is about over and you have 5 seconds to play, the Texas University team, by the way, undefeated, 24 straight games. Just thought I'd say that. But last week they played UCLA. They had 5 seconds to go, no, 12 seconds to go on their own, no, on the UCLA 45-yard line, and were behind by 4 points. 17 boys, hey boys, we're behind by 4 points. Well, Texas University hasn't lost a game in over almost 3 years, and probably never will lose another game. I mean, Texans just don't lose. UCLA was ahead, 12 seconds to play, 45 yards away from the winning touchdown, and so Phillips went back, the quarterback, to a touchdown, Spire caught the ball, Phillips threw the ball, and touchdown on the last play of the game. I guess it was 12 seconds to play. And now, in a time like that, you don't say, that is wonderful. I am so pleased. That was magnificent. No, you can't speak it. But you can, some kind of a sign. You go, yay! Now, you say, of course, you Yankees don't do that about football games. You do it about basketball games, but not about football games. And yay! Now that's a sound that describes how you or a preacher's preaching a sermon, and you say, "Amen," or something wonderful happens, and you go, "Oh," or something terrible happens, and you go, "Oh." You look at your clock, and it's 12:05, and the preacher says, "Now, in the second place," and you say, "Oh." Now words can't express it, but a groan can. You see. There are sounds. Maybe it's there's a parade and there's patriotism and you can't express how you feel, but the band plays the Star Spangled Banner and the sound expresses how you feel. Or maybe it's a sigh. Or maybe sometimes you see a beautiful sunset and you don't say, "Ah, yon in west, I see a beautiful sunset." No, you go, "Oh." Or, "Oh." You see, the sound, I'm not a very good, but anyway, the sound expresses it. But the Apostle Paul said, the joy of knowing you're saved. Now, to know you're saved, that's unspeakable. You couldn't tell anybody how wonderful that is. But the joy that comes, joy unspeakable. You can't even, a sigh will not describe it. A shout won't describe it. A cheer won't describe it. An instrument can't describe it. A horn can't describe it. Here's a football team, makes a touchdown, and a big old fella tries to say something, and he can't. So he gets his big old drum stick, and he thud, 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 and that's the way he described it. But no drum can describe the joy of being saved, and no horn can describe the joy of being saved, and no shout can describe the joy of being saved, and no sigh can describe the joy of being saved. If you're not saved this morning, God has an unspeakable salvation, but He also has unspeakable joy that accompanies that salvation. But there's a third unspeakable, and that is unspeakable place. God has an unspeakable salvation that gives you unspeakable joy and takes you someday to an unspeakable place. The Apostle Paul was called up into the third heaven, and he saw the city which God has prepared for those that love Him. And the Apostle said, "I heard words unspeakable, unlawful to utter." He said that's an unspeakable place. But now what he meant there was had nothing to do with speaking. You can't describe it. Had nothing to do with, you can't make a noise that tells how good it is. It had to do, he was breathless. You folks that were with us on the Holy Land trip, don't you recall how we drove up Mount Carmel that day? And the guy had said, "Look to the right," remember? Everybody looked to the right, Lysay 3, and then looked to the left, remember that? And in Haifa, up on Mount Carmel, on the Haifa, built on the side of Mount Carmel. And the guy said, "Look to the right." "No, don't look to the left yet. Don't, till I tell you. Don't, not yet. And so we all looked to the right, and then he said, "Now." And we all looked to the left, and there was the Mediterranean Sea at our feet. And Haifa, the beautiful city. I think one of the most beautiful views in the world. What we all do, huh? When I saw Jerusalem the first time at night from the Mount of Olives, I couldn't speak. Why? I couldn't say anything. I couldn't even tell you my name. And the Apostle Paul was caught up to the third heaven, and he looked at heaven. He saw what Christ was preparing for His own, and he said, "What do you see, Paul?" I was talking to a lady right back here one day. And she was very nervous. She was scared of me. Now, can you feature anybody being scared of a nice guy like me? But she was scared of me. And when I'd get around her, she'd just tremble, you know. And I walked back one day, and I was walking down the aisle there, and she was sitting up back there. And I stopped, and I said, "What is your name?" And I said, "What is your name?" And I said, "I don't think I've met you before. What is your name?" And finally she thought of something to say, and she said, "I don't have any idea." "I don't have any idea." Now, there was something that she couldn't talk. She just, I was driving down, or driving from Houston, Texas to Dallas one time. Bill Harvey and I were driving, and we were behind a pickup truck. All of a sudden, it must have been 100 yards ahead of us. All of a sudden, that truck turned over in the highway, turned sideways, then turned over, and then turned completely over on its wheels again, went out in the pasture, down the ditch, out of the ditch and in the pasture, and then it turned on the back and shot up in the air. I must have been about 25 feet. A little boy, about 5 years old, fell out of the truck while it was 25 feet in the air. And we thought the truck was going to fall on the boy. It didn't, and the boy wasn't killed. But all that took about, I guess, 15 seconds, the entire thing. And Bill and I went, and watched it. And that's what the Apostle Paul said heaven is like. Paul said, when I saw it, I couldn't speak. I was speechless. I couldn't speak. Now, if the Apostle Paul couldn't speak, when only 30 years had left, Jesus said, "I go and prepare a place for you."
And for 30 years, he'd been working on that place.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I wonder how pretty it is by now. It's been now almost 2,000 years. And so, may I say this morning, if you're not saved, God has a salvation so wonderful that words can't describe it. But once you receive that salvation, there's a joy so wonderful that no sound could describe it. And when you die in Christ and go to heaven, you will see a place that will make you speechless of it because of its beauty and its joy. But there's another word, and that word is unsearchable. Unsearchable. Now, the word unsearchable is used in Romans 11:33 about the Word of God. And then in Ephesians 3:8 about the riches of Christ. Unsearchable. When you get saved, you have an unspeakable salvation, unspeakable joy. You're going to a place that has unspeakable beauty. And then God gives you His unsearchable Word. Now, that unsearchable, the first word unsearchable, Romans 11:33, means it's always fresh. You read a verse, and next time you read it, there's something else there. I used to worry when I first started preaching the Bible, afraid I'd preach it through. And what are we going to do when I finish the Bible? You know, I can go to a verse, I can preach on the same verse next Sunday and get something new out of it. And it's always, why? Unsearchable. It's depth. Oh, the depth of the riches of love. But there's another word, unsearchable, and that's in Ephesians 3:8, the unsearchable riches God gives us. Unsearchable riches. The word unsearchable there, Dr. Billing, let me use you here. walk across over there and then hide behind that piano thing there. I'm going to teach you something here if you'll let me. Dr. Billings? Oh, where's Dr. Billings? I'll find that rascal. He owes me some money. I'll find him. Let's see where you went here. I'll find his tracks. Now, here it is right here. There's a track. There's a track. There's a track. See which way did he go? You see Dr. Billings? You didn't see him. You're a liar. Is there tracks here? There's a track there. It looks more like John Colt than it's dirty. I can find Billings. Uh-oh, he took off his shoes here because he went this far, as far as I can see. Wonder where he is. And the rest of it is unsearchable. Thank you, Dr. Billings. You're a great actor. Now, that's what the Scripture means. The Scripture says his riches are unsearchable. It means untrackable. It means that when you get saved, he gives you so many wonderful things that you get them and you get more and you get more and you get more. But after a while, there are too many on the track. You can't track them anymore because they're unsearchable. All the unsearchable riches of Christ, the riches of His love, the riches of His grace, the riches of His mercy, the riches of His long-suffering, the riches of His patience. And so the Apostle Paul said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And Peter said, unspeakable joy comes with it. And Paul said, unspeakable beauty is in heaven. And then Paul said, the unsearchable Word of God never runs out. And then he said, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, this morning, do you not know that you're saved? Do you not know that if you died, you'd go to heaven? God has an unspeakable salvation for you, a salvation about which we cannot tell you completely, unspeakable joy that no sound can describe, unspeakable place that will cause you to be speechless when you see its beauty, unsearchable Word of God, unsearchable riches. But may I say also, all these things are unchangeable. For in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24, it speaks about the priesthood of Christ, which is unchangeable. And the Apostle Paul, I think, wrote Hebrews, means unchangeable. He never changes. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name, unchangeable. The salvation you have, unchangeable. He said, Brother Hiles, these are new days. I get so sick, I just want to see blood over these idiots going around saying, well, it's a new time. Let's change the laws to fit the time. Listen, if America was built on certain laws, she ought to stay on certain laws. Some things never change. Truth never changes. Right never changes. Wrong never changes. The Bible never changes. These so-called scholars sitting behind these theological desks in our seminaries saying, well, we need a new Bible for a new day. Bless your heart, all we need is for some of these morons to believe the old Bible. That's all we need. We don't need to change the Bible. We don't need to change the church. We don't need to change our whole society, the church, the Bible, and everything else to fit a bunch of communist hippies going around trying to change the status quo. God knows the Bible is still true. Never changes. Hell is still true. Never changes. Heaven is still real. Never changes. You must be born again. It's still the same way. It never changes. And if you get saved, my brother, you're going to get saved the same way the Apostle Paul got saved. And if you get to heaven, you're going to get to heaven the same way he got to heaven. And if you don't get saved, you're going to go to the same hell that Diabetes went to, the rich man went to, in Luke chapter 16. This is an unchangeable message, an unchangeable word, an unchangeable gospel, an unchangeable Christ. What this age needs, though this age doesn't know it, this age needs to get back to the simple, basic, unchanging truths of the Word of God. The famous National Council of the Churches president stood down in Florida at a National Council of the Churches meeting, Mr. Dahlberg, and he stood and he said, what we need is to get away from the old terms like new birth and precious blood of Jesus and get some new terms, away from the old terms. No, he's got a hole in his head. He's got rooms for rent upstairs and bats in his belfry. He hadn't got enough. Listen, if cents were money, he couldn't have enough money for bus fare. The honest, simple truth is, we need to get back to the precious blood of Christ and back to the new birth. I was over in near Chicago one time, and I was debating with a liberal and a Wheaton professor. They called me the fundamentalist and called this Dr. Ford from the Garrett Seminary in Chicago, the liberal, and he was. And they called a professor from Wheaton, a fine lady. They called her sort of halfway in between. I never want to be halfway in between. I want to be all the way for the Bible and all the way for God and all the way for heaven. But anyway, we were having a little debate, nothing. We were having a fuss. And this Wheaton professor, very, very nice lady. And she, by the way, was a Christian. I think she was born again. She sort of had some loose screws up here in her head and many of them in her heart. But she's born again, I think. And she said, Dr. Hiles, she said, what you need in your church is total involvement, whatever that is. Total involvement. I said, what? She said, deeper commitment. I said, what? She said, you'll reach the whole man. Well, I thought we always did reach the whole man. Folk walked down the aisle. I thought they broke their feet and their ears and legs and everything else. Whole man. And I said, why don't you just use Bible terms? Total involvement. Why don't you say, get right with God, prepare to meet God, born again, regenerated, saved. Those are Bible terms. We have catered long enough to a heathen, wicked, godless generation who wants to change everything about America. But what we need is return, as Jeremiah said, to the old prayers, the unchangeable word, the unchangeable message, the unchangeable Christ, the unchangeable gospel. This morning, what you need is that unchanging message of praise. Oh, wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love wakes the immortal strand. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. May I say this? And I said this to this lady. We're talking about Sunday school. And I said, you mark it down, the Sunday schools in America and the churches in America that have crowds and that are growing are the churches that believe the unchangeable Word of God. So this morning, may I say to you, if you're saved, you can say with the Apostle Paul, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, which brings to us joy unspeakable and full of glory, which takes us to a place so beautiful that it's unspeakable and breathless when we see, and it gives us the unsearchable Word of God and gives us the unsearchable riches of Christ. And thank God, it's unchangeable. That's why we have this church here. That's why we have the Sunday school campaigns. That's why we gave the kite this morning. That's why we're trying to have 10,000 in Sunday school. You know why? Because we want you to have this unsearchable gift, this unspeakable gift of God, the unspeakable joy that accompanies it, the unspeakable place of heaven. the unsearchable riches of Christ, the unsearchable Word of God, and an unchangeable Savior. That's what you need. You know, every generation that has ever lived, ever decayed, and ever rotted, has first tried to change the Word of God, and then they didn't believe the Word of God. For a Bible that's changed is not worth believing. The old paths, the old truths. Are you saved this morning? May I recommend to you the unspeakable gift of God, the unspeakable joy of Christ, the unspeakable city of heaven, the unsearchable riches of God, and the unchanging love of Christ. His love never changes. Never changes. We change, but His love never changes. It's always the same. He loves you this morning. He wants to save you. He wants you to go to heaven when you die. Don't tell me there's not a hunger in your heart for God. Don't tell me if you don't know that you're saved, you don't lie awake at night sometime and worry about it. Don't tell me you don't want to know you're going to heaven. Don't tell me you don't wish you knew your sins were forgiven. Well, of course you do. And God loves you, and He wants to forgive every sin. And this morning, here's what will happen. You walk down this aisle, and you receive Christ. And all of a sudden, in your heart, you'll know that you're saved. And somebody's going to ask you tomorrow, what'd you do yesterday? Well, I got saved. Well, how you feel? Well, it's unspeakable. And the joy, unspeakable. And heaven, unspeakable. And riches, unsearchable. And the great thing about it is, it's all unchangeable. How many here have been saved less than a month? Would you raise your hand? Less than a month? How many have been saved less than a year? All right. How many have been saved more than 30 years? I see. Still saved. And I'll tell you what, these folks are still rejoicing in the fact that they're saved. Why? It's unchangeable. It's unchangeable. And you can know in your heart when you go out those doors that your sins are forgiven, your name is written in heaven, and you're God's child. I hope you will. Let us pray together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the unspeakable gift, the unspeakable joy, the unspeakable place, for the unsearchable riches, for the unchangeable Christ. I pray this morning You'd help every person here who's not saved to do so and say yes to Christ before they leave. Now our heads are bowed in prayer and our eyes are closed. How many can say for the highest, I know what the Bible, I know what Paul was talking about. I know I'm saved. I have this unspeakable gift. I have this unspeakable joy. I have these unsearchable riches. I have this unchangeable Christ. I know I'm saved, no doubt about it. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the house, everyone. You know if you died, you'd go to heaven. You're sure of it. It's all settled. God bless you. You can lower your hands. I wonder how many would say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand, but I wish I could. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. I wish I had this salvation. I mean it. I wish I did. I wish I did know I was going to heaven. I want to be saved. God knows I do. Pastor, would you pray for me, please, that I may know that I'm saved? First on the lower floor, if you don't know that you're saved, but you wish you did, would you raise your hand, please? I'll pray for you. You don't know you're going to heaven, but you wish you did. Lift your hand. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you, fella. God bless you. Who else on the lower floor? You want to know that you're saved. Raise your hand way up high, would you, please? On the lower floor. Way up high. You want to know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven. May I see your hand, please, quickly? Would you raise it? Way up high. Way up high. God bless you. Is there another? Is there another? In the balcony on my left, the east balcony, you would say, Pastor, I want to know that if I died, I would go to heaven. I don't know it now. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? Oh, God bless you. Yes, I see that hand in the corner. God bless you. Is there another? Balcony on my left. God bless you. I see your hands, fella. God bless you way back in the back. Are there others? God bless you. God bless you, son. God bless you. In the center balcony, God bless you, sir. I see your hand. In the center balcony, who else? The balcony on my right, you'd like to know that you're saved. Would you lift your hand, please? God bless those two. Yes, God bless you, fellas. Are there others? Are there others? Back to the lower floor. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, Pastor, I know I have to die, but I don't know that I'm ready. Would you pray for me? Lift your hand, please, on the lower floor. Yes, God bless those two. Are there others? God bless you, little lady. I see you. It's always a wonderful thing when conviction is in the service and people want to be saved. Are there others? You say, pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. Are there others on the lower floor? Anybody else in the balcony? Anybody else in the balcony? Our Father, there are 2 minutes this morning for me to mention. I'll think of all I can. I pray, dear Lord, for these adults over here on my right, 3 or 4 of them. I pray for these teenage girls over here on my left next to the aisle. I pray for the 2 over here on my right next to the wall. I pray for these 6 or 7 in the left balcony. I pray for this man in the center balcony. I pray for these 2 teenage boys up here on my right in the right balcony and several up here, the children up here. I pray for this lady down here at the front and the one back in the back. And this morning, those, dear Lord, whom I've forgotten, you haven't forgotten about them. And I pray this morning that they'll say yes to Jesus Christ and be saved before they go. Now our heads are bowed. This is the invitation. If you want to know that you're saved, you come this morning. And we can show you how. You can walk out of this building. I mean, you say, preacher, is it that simple? It's as simple as your faith in Christ. And we can show you all about it. You can walk out of those doors this morning with unspeakable gift of God, the unspeakable joy of Christ, the unspeakable home in heaven, an unsearchable book, unsearchable riches of grace, and an unchangeable salvation through Christ. When we stand and sing in a minute, if you raised your hand or did not but should have, I'm going to ask you to leave your seat. Come to the nearest aisle, down the aisle to the front, and give me your hand and let me know that you're accepting this unspeakable gift. You say, preacher, what do you have to do to earn salvation? Hold it. It's a gift. It's not an unspeakable reward. It's an unspeakable gift. It's not an unspeakable salary. It's an unspeakable gift. You don't earn it. You just take it. Would you accept it this morning? Would you? And I want you to leave your seat, come to the aisle, down the aisle to the front. If you've already been saved but need to get baptized, you come. If you want to join the church by transfer, you come. But if you don't know that you're saved, by all means, you come. Father, bless the invitation. Crown it with thy blessing and power. Amen. Shall we stand, please? The choir will sing the first stanza of Just As I Am Without One Plea. And as the choir sings it, leave your seat. Don't wait a minute. Come toward the aisle, down the front. I'll meet you here. Would you come as we sing?